Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Happy Friday, everybody. It's a beautiful day. How are we doing?
Hey, doing great.
Good morning, guys.
Had to get my scare levels up.
Ooh. Yeah, if anybody thinks my voice sounds a little bit hoarse, it is because I just screamed at the top of my lungs because Derek Mason was hiding, just waiting for me to walk in the building. And I'm like on my phone trying to find this tweet, trying to find this one clip to send to Nick. And Derek just pops out and goes, and I screamed.
Hey, had to get my screams up. Willie, they made a call, Monsters, Inc. They said screen levels are low.
That's what it's all about.
Got to get them back up.
That institution.
Exactly.
Fine institution. Monsters University.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So
they're hosting a regional today.
Brother, this guy stinks.
I'm going to get this off on the right track. I'm going to say this.
So we got screams up. Now we got to get laughs up.
Absolutely. What do prisoners use to call each other?
Ooh. I don't know.
What do prisoners use to call each other?
You want me to say it?
Is it like the plastic can with a string on it?
That's what I'm picturing.
Cell phone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
I don't know.
2026-25 headline. Y'all know where it's going to be.
Wait, Derek, boom. You just went 2 years later than what you usually say.
I know, but we kind of, you know.
He's been off his game.
They pushed it off a little bit. You know, they got some. Some big names.
I'm disappointed.
Coming.
I was making plans for 2024.
Oh, we could always, make it a little bit earlier. But I'm trying to work with them. You know, they're working with my schedule. I'm a wanted man. You know, they want me all the comedy clubs around town. That's the only time I can fit them in.
You know how much rejection I face every day.
Nick Kieser is here as well. Staff member Nick, how we doing?
I'm good. I'm having one hell of a Friday. I'm really enjoying this. We had a really busy week, and we do have a take it to the bank with everybody present today. So I'm looking forward to all of that later.
The gang is back together on a Friday, busy week, and a very busy day today as well. We got a little bit of news.
Got NCAA baseball tournament starting up. Always one of my favorite days.
Regionals starting up today. Vanderbilt plays tonight, Eastern Illinois, at 7 o'clock. You can find all of Vandy's action on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, tonight. And a little bit of news out of the Southeastern Conference last night that they have officially decided on a scheduling format for the 2024 season. So just a little bit of a refresher. Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, and there were a lot of questions about what Texas and Oklahoma would do to the schedule. You can't have two 8-team divisions. I mean, you can't have a division where you don't play every single team in that division. So what the SEC concocted was, hey, we're going to get rid of divisions, but now we have to decide between two different scheduling formats. A 9-game conference schedule, the 3-6 model, in which every single SEC team would have 3 permanent yearly opponents and 6 rotating opponents. The other was an 8-game conference schedule, which is currently what the SEC plays, 8 conference games within your division, and it's 1-7. So it would be one permanent rivalry every single year, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and then 7 rotating games. The SEC officially announced yesterday that in 2024, they will play an 8-game conference schedule, 1 permanent opponent, 7 rotating opponents. Do we think Greg Sankey made the right decision?
Oh, man, this is a tough one, at least for me, because, okay, what would be the I understand the 7 rotating opponents, and that's every year. Every year they will play a different team, but they have one common team that they play each and every year. Well, what happens to Alabama-Tennessee? What happens to Alabama-Auburn? What happens to Tennessee-Florida? What happens to Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma. The Oklahoma's in the SEC, right? Yeah.
They will be in
2024. Yeah, they will be. I get confused.
I still can't say it.
Exactly.
Like, I can't say it.
It's just hard to say. I was like, am I right? I think I am. But, okay, so what happens to those rivalries every year? Because to me, no slight to Vandy, but Tennessee and Vandy is not a rival. It's not. Arrival is back and forth. You know, if you look at the history of it, it may not be even, but there are some battles back and forth. And I don't see Tennessee and Vandy as a rival. I just don't. They're an in-state rival, yes, I get that. But are they a true rival team? No, they're not. I don't think Tennessee considers Vandy their rival. I think Tennessee, if you ask them, I think it would tend to be more Florida or Alabama.
Kentucky,
yeah. So I don't. And then what happens with Kentucky?
Watch out now. Yeah, watch out, you guys.
What happened to Kentucky? Boy. But who's Vandy?
Here comes Vandy.
But who's Vandy's rival?
Tennessee.
How?
The
definition of rivalry isn't Tennessee and Vandy, because Tennessee been whooping that tail for a very long time, and I know they had their stint where they wasn't. And believe me,
are we only
I love
talking
Vandy.
About football here? Or do not other sports not exist?
In this conversation, no.
No, not really. You know, no other sports exist.
Well, Vanderbilt did beat them 5 times in the last, what, 8 meetings?
Okay, so what happened to the other 28, 29, 30 meetings?
40, 50.
Willie want to hold on to, but no, but in serious,
well,
again, no
okay,
slight
this,
to Vandy.
But this is the point you're making, you're though, is you, if you ask any Vanderbilt fan, mm-hmm. Tennessee is the rival. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is more divided. It's not always equal back and forth.
Tennessee might
between
say
the
Alabama.
Two teams.
Alabama probably would say Auburn. I don't think rivals are always quid pro quo.
But this is what you get into with the league. Oh, we have to preserve Auburn and Georgia. Mm-hmm. They've been playing for 100-something years. Yeah, that's the oldest rivalry, but you can't keep them all. And this is why they never should. And if you were concerned about this, then you don't have 16 teams in your league. Mm-hmm. That's why from day one, I haven't liked this. So the answer is there's no easy way to do a schedule. Even if you have 9 games, there's flaws in the schedule. I think the reason that they're preserving 8 is there are teams that want the flexibility of the 4 non-conference games, so they don't beat each other up. It helps the bottom third, bottom fourth of the league have a better chance. I shouldn't say bottom fourth, because really, if you're in the bottom fourth, you shouldn't be very good, especially with 16 teams. But with 14, let's just say the bottom 6 teams, you want those teams to have a chance to get bowl eligible. You want a team to have a chance to build and move up, even if they are traditionally not as good. Vanderbilt would fall into that category. For a long time, Kentucky fell into that category. If you read it, Kentucky is one of the teams that has carried the torch to stay 8. Mm-hmm. So I think Greg Sankey is trying to respect both sides of it. And I think Greg Sankey knows whether they play 8 or 9, they're still going to get their squads in the playoff. As long as they have a chance, you know, as long as they're playing for the title every year, he doesn't really care what everybody else thinks. He wants what's good for the whole league. He wants to keep everybody happy as much as they can. But there is no solution to how you schedule. It's impossible to keep all the rivalries. There's no way you can do it.
And this was a move motivated, and not completely motivated, but one of the reasons that Greg Sankey cited for maintaining an 8-game conference schedule was the Vanderbilts, the Kentuckys, the mm-hmm. Mississippi States, the Missouris, the teams that rely on that 4th non-conference game to become bowl eligible. That involves one of your that involves your team, Willie. That involves Vanderbilt. With Vanderbilt in mind of, hey, an extra non-conference game when we don't have to play an Alabama or a Georgia or a Florida or a Tennessee, that's advantageous for a team like Vanderbilt. So do you like this?
I tell you this. I don't think it has anything to do necessarily with that lower half of the league in making a bowl game. Because if every conference, Big Ten, you know, let's just say that, because eventually it seems like it's headed down this road of just these two power conferences, mm-hmm. Big Ten and SEC. I'm not going to believe just yet that, oh, we're worried about bowl games for the lower half. I think it boils down to this. We want to maintain those 4 games we can play out of conference. Because if we just play strictly conference games, all conference games, and nobody else is doing it, there's going to be more losses within our conference.
Everybody else is doing it. Every other conference in America plays 9 conference games.
Exactly. So my thing
is— Not the ACC.
Well, I mean, the ACC.
That's different.
It is Clemson and Florida State and everybody else.
But they want to make sure they preserve that right of, we want to make sure we get, at the end of the year, there are more teams that are vying, not for a bowl game. I mean, yeah, bowl game brings money. I understand that. They don't care about that. It's about the championship game. It's about the college playoffs. Why do they extend it 12 games? Because they want to get more of their players inside of that. So we're not going to sit here and knowing that our conference is the toughest conference out there, mm-hmm. we're not going to play all conference games, basically, with the exception of maybe two or three. We're going to make sure that we can still play those fluff teams to help build up our conference, and then we're going to play our conference games, and hopefully with that, we get our teams in that we want in. The Alabamas, we know now that it's up to, it's going to eventually be the 12 of eventually here. Alabama's going to get in. Georgia's going to get in. Who else?
Well, Auburn. In a given year, you figure you're getting the SEC, most years, at least four teams, at least four to five teams. Three should be the minimum that you're thinking, mm-hmm. and four is probably very
realistic.
But
if we play more conference games, we're just going to beat each other up, and it's going to count against us at the end of the season.
I think this is stupid. I think this was a very bad decision made mm-hmm. by Greg Sankey. One reason being, one thing that you just mentioned, Derek, I would agree that if you start making decisions because of the bottom half of your conference, the Kentuckys, the Missouris, the Mississippi States out there, I think that's a very bad look. Because I understand, I hear Kentucky and Mississippi State and some of these teams that struggle to make bowl games every year complaining about, oh, the conference is too hard. That's falling on deaf ears. Because those teams are cashing in mm-hmm. on the teams that they say are too hard to play, that make this conference too competitive. Missouri is getting a $50 million check, just like Alabama is. Mm-hmm. If Missouri wants an easier schedule, and I'm just using Missouri as an example here, if Missouri is complaining it's too hard to make a bowl game because this conference is too competitive, you can leave.
Yeah.
By all means, leave the conference. But they're not going to, because they're cashing in on that $50 million check. And that $50 million check is brought to the Missouris and the Kentuckys and the Mississippi States of the SEC because of the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Floridas and the LSUs and the Tennessees, the teams that those teams are sick of playing.
Mm-hmm. Sick of playing? Why would you not want to play the bottom teams in the league? There's a way to win a championship, and I think Nick Saban knows that he schedules the cupcake in November, so he gets kind of a rest.
I think a lot of teams do that.
It's such a long grind. And remember now, you got to play extra playoff games to win the whole thing. It's a much longer season. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an argument from the top teams to play eight so that you can ration your roster all the way through. Why would you want to beat each other up in the regular season? It's all going to come down to the playoffs anyway. That's how I would look at it. If I were Nick Saban, or if I were a quote, high echelon team in the SEC, you're going to be there either way. You might as well be there with a little better chance to have your roster set and ready to go. I think that's what we're going to start seeing now, especially with a lot of players who, even on really good teams, are like, I want to get ready for the draft. You think that's not going to happen some?
It does,
but I don't think it's going to happen if you're competing for a national championship in the playoffs. So I think more guys are more inclined to say, I'm not going to. Even guys that are not hurt,
if they're not hurt, then they should be playing. I'm just saying, if a guy's hurt.
But what I'm saying, even a guy that isn't hurt, if they're not in the playoffs, what do they usually do? They take off. They leave. You know, they're like, I'm done. You know, I'm not playing no bowl games because I don't want to be subject to injury. You know, I think if you're inside of the playoffs, if you make it, if another team gets in, then that guy or three or four guys that may have thought, like, man, I may want to sit out the last game or so because I am projected a high round pick. Now you're in the college playoffs, you're not going to do that. You're going to play instead of pulling out and opting not to play. At least that's what I think.
And I want to continue the conversation coming up next, because Greg Sankey has used a lot of reasons for support for an 8-game schedule. But I don't think any of that matters. I think it's all about one thing. And we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Riley DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Commissioner, thank you. I know it's been a very busy day, and there's plenty more to do for you tonight, so we won't keep you, obviously. But can you give us your thoughts on where the league is right now moving forward?
Well, there's unity, and in some ways that's unique among conferences right now. And we've announced our excitement about being joined by Oklahoma and Texas. I think that's not news to you, but had to work through, given their earlier transition, how do we make a decision about a football schedule, announced that we'll play eight conference games, we'll maintain the required opponent among our, if you will, Autonomy 5 colleagues or a major independent. We're going to eliminate divisional play in 2024. That means the top two teams atop our conference standings at the end of that season will meet in Atlanta for our championship game. We obviously have the need to make a long-term strategic decision. And while we continue to go through those various considerations, we think about non-conference scheduling, we think about our own conference scheduling, we think about the playoff, we think about bowl eligibility. This emerged really as the right interim step. In a way, with the input from our schools, we're going to plan to honor many of our key rivalries. I think those are obvious, and we'll announce the matchups of the games on the SEC Network on June 14th.
That was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey with one of the more monotonous voices I've heard in a long time.
Man, I would not love to have him as a professor.
Snooze fest, man, oh man. But the SEC has decided in 2024 that they will maintain an eight-game schedule, one permanent opponent and seven rotating opponents. And I think that this is a horrendous decision by the SEC. Because I think that a nine-game conference schedule with three permanent opponents and six rotating, just more conference games on your schedule, rather, is inherently a better product. Greg Sankey is in the business of making money, and that has been very, very clear by some of the decisions that he's made over the last couple of years. I would much rather watch Alabama-Tennessee, Texas-Texas A&M, Florida-Georgia, then watch Alabama blow out Louisiana Tech. I really would. And I know that those three non-conference games are still there, but I think the more opportunities that you can create for the conference to have more quality matchups, to have games that people actually care about watching, games that actually matter in the grand scheme of the college football playoff, I think that's a good thing for the conference. I'm sick of watching Georgia beat up on Akron. I want more quality in-conference matchups.
I think most people mm-hmm. who are fans would agree with you from afar. I think there's a reason, though, that Greg Sankey keeps coming back to this. And he was trying to point out as much as he can. This is what we agreed on, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't make the decision by himself. He gets the input from all the schools. And I think eventually they'll probably go to nine, eventually. But in the meantime, like I told you guys, I think it's not just the bottom teams that would like to stay at eight. I think those teams that are trying to win a national championship, they don't need that ninth game. I think they realize it. So they'll be there either way. So either you're going to beat Texas or let's just say whoever it is that you don't play in the regular season, you're going to need to beat them in the playoffs or in the regular season. So why try to beat them twice? You know, just get there, and if you need to beat them in the postseason, that's when you try to beat them.
But isn't this the argument at the end of the day that we have every year? And I can understand when it was a 4-team playoff. I get that when it's 4-team playoffs because you only have four teams out of 100-plus teams that can make it to the college football playoff. So you want to try to set your schedule up as advantageous as possible to make sure you get in a position that you're one of those teams. So you're playing the Division II teams, or you're playing, you know, a lowercase Division I team, because you know at the end of the day, in your mind, we play enough hard games within the SEC. We need those breaks. And at the end of the day, if we're 12-0 and I'm Alabama, nobody's arguing over who we didn't play or whatnot. And we always come to the end of the day and we say, strength of schedule. Oh, this team, especially if both teams are 12-1, something like, oh, their strength of schedule was better than theirs. Or, well, this would alleviate all problems if you just, especially for the SEC and the Big Ten, for the SEC, if you play more conference games as the college football is expanding, if you lose one or two games, if we go by the prior criteria, you're still going to make it because your strength of schedule is there, regardless if you lost two, because your two losses might have been against their losses against teams within your conference that is really good or better than some of these other teams that are around, maybe even better than the top teams in other conferences. So to me, this would – If especially that it's expanding now, the college football is expanding now. It's better if you're playing conference games and winning those conference games, or you may lose one or two. But once it comes down to it, when we're starting to, you know, vie for position in the college playoffs, now you have a leg to stand on, because you say, listen, look at the conference games we play. We played nine of them or eight of them, and they all were good teams, and we lost one. We didn't play a cupcake. We didn't play a slough off.
They're going to get there. They're going to get there even with eight. That's Greg Sankey's thinking.
But there's going to be more argument. There's always you can't argue with me if I'm playing nine games and my conference is considered the best conference out there, and I may have lost one to Alabama and say one to Florida, and those teams are good.
Now,
and you've lost
this
one
is
or
the
two
argument.
Yourself.
I call it the James Franklin argument, because when he first got to Vanderbilt, he was adamant, hey, I'm trying to build something here. Mm-hmm. I need eight. I want eight. I want to be able to have flexibility in the rest of my schedule, because I'm trying to build wins. I'm trying to get to bowls, and I'm trying to, you know, be able to attract better players because we're winning. And there is absolutely nothing for those teams incentive to play a tougher schedule. There's none. There's incentive to play an easier schedule. Now,
no, it's incentive for your university to make sure you have the things necessary to make sure people want to come to your university.
Oh, and believe me, he was on that train too. But what I'm saying is, the other part of his argument is, if you're trying, and he's on this side of it now at Penn State, if you're trying to win a national championship, then schedule your non-conference accordingly. Beef up your schedule if that's what you want to do, if you're in that boat. But if most of the teams are on the bottom, there's more of them than there are the teams actually have a chance to win the national championship. So everything shouldn't revolve around the 15 or 20 programs most years that have a chance to win the national championship. There's 100 and something teams. You have to try to service them some, even in the power conferences. And so if you're Greg Sankey, either way, you're going to have three, four teams in the playoff, whether you play eight or nine. And there's an argument for eight. So unless the TV people are pushing and demanding nine, stay at eight. That's how I think. As long as you can, I think eventually they'll be forced into playing nine.
I think that they will eventually play nine, and I think that that's the correct decision. I just don't think that you can – if you are going to be the SEC, the most dominant, the most competitive, the elite of the elite of college conferences, if you are going to be on your ivory tower and everyone's just looking up at you like, we want to be like the SEC, and I think that's exactly what the format of college football looks like, you can't make decisions that benefit everyone, because inherently it's not going to benefit everyone. And I understand the competitive.
Who is it going to hurt playing eight? They're winning the national championship every year with different schools with eight.
Don't think about the competition side of things, because that absolutely is part of it, and that's something that Greg Sankey has talked
about.
But
do you think it's going to jeopardize the SEC's dominance by playing eight? I don't think it's going to at all.
I'm talking about money. I'm talking about money and a better product. Because I think that it is a better product if the SEC plays nine conference schedules.
Yeah, but are they going to lose money because of this?
They aren't going to make more money because of this. But I do think
they're not making enough money.
If the SEC, excuse me, if ESPN offered up more money for that ninth conference game, none of this would even be an issue. None of this would even be debated. It would be done. If ESPN said, I believe it's $5 million like per program, per extra game. So if ESPN said, okay, here's $5 million to you, Vandy, to you, Alabama, to you, Florida, to you, Kentucky, it would be a no-brainer. So that's the other frustrating thing, is we can use all of these things to nitpick about competition and player safety and rivalries and tradition. I think all of those things are important, and I think all of those things matter. But the core foundation of it is that it's all about money. And that's fine. It's a for-profit business. And I'm going to get over the fact that my team, LSU, is not going to play Alabama every single year. I'll get over that. I'm still going to watch. I think you would do the same thing, Willie. I think you would do the same thing, Derek. You're going to watch no matter what. Exactly like the NFL put putting a playoff game on Peacock.
Yeah.
It's annoying. We're going to complain about it, and we're still going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I think that that's the frustrating thing to me is it seems like it's a whole lot of fluff, and it's a whole lot of distraction from what the real root of the situation is, and it's money. Greg Sankey wants the opportunity that would make him the most money. If there's no advantage on the other end to expand to 9 games financially, then why would you?
No, you're right. This is going to continue to be, you know, obviously they're going to make their decision, but I think aside from their decision, it's always going to be at the end of the year, it's always going to be a debate. Should we or should we not? Should we have done this or should we not have done it?
Let's get into your thoughts on this coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game in the Game Nashville app. Hey, join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on Wednesday, June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. So if you want to support Souls for Souls but can't play golf with us, then check out our silent auction items. Just go to thegamenashville.com/golf for more information.
You digging the vibe?
Y'all didn't think I knew this, did y'all?
Yeah. No, this is good.
This is Breakfast Club. It was on Breakfast Club.
It was not on Breakfast Club.
Which movie was it on?
This has probably been in a bunch of movies.
No, but I'm saying this was in Breakfast Club.
No, you're thinking of Don't You Forget About Me. This is Don't You Want Me.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Don't
no!
You Want Me.
This wasn't in... I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I did mix up the song. But this... What movie?
I'm sure this has been in a bunch of movies. Yeah. This is an ancient song, but this.
But
is
that's why I remember the song because it was in a movie, and I watched the movie 100 times probably.
So I'm going with the theme today, and people, I would love to take requests on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm going old school synth here. You know, it's got to be electronic. This is the Human League, one of the, at the forefront back in the day of using the synthesizers, the electronic sound. Mm-hmm. So Don't You Want Me was a massive hit there.
Now.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you got to have the synth. Got to have the synth. So request it as you like. I'm trying to teach Nick the genre here. He's like, one of these songs is really long. I was like, well, yeah, this is the electronic. It's like you get to the club. You know, you get a little of that going. So we got the beat. Got the stuff. Nick, we're expanding your horizon.
Yeah, I like it. Well, it's eerily similar to like a band like Daft Punk, which I don't know if you know who that is, Willie.
Of course I do.
Modern day synth.
But see, this is the thing. These are the originals. This is what I'm going to give you. This is why I'm cutting edge, D-Mace,
on
the
music. Willie has always been
These are the founding fathers for the Daft Punks and the electronic sound that you hear today. It all comes around in cycles, see? This is good.
Love it.
The founding fathers. It.
We're breaking down the SEC's decision to move to stay at an 8 conference game schedule. 1 permanent opponent, 7 rotating opponents. Unless we have a thought?
Bring it on.
Let's go to the phone.
Yeah, let's go.
Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. If you have a thought, Scott Texan says you got to keep multiple rivalry games, not just one. Vandy UT must stay, and so must UT Alabama. If they pick just one, that's a huge mistake. That's a big element of it here is the rivalry games that you're not guaranteed to get every single year.
We could spend a week debating on how to do the rivalries. It's impossible. I don't care if you're playing 8 or 9. When you have 16 teams in the league, you can't service all the rivalries. It's impossible.
And rivalries change. And it is not lost on me that conference realignment has happened several times in my lifetime, in your lifetimes. It will happen several times in the remainder of our lifetimes. Rivalries change. There are things that, like rivalries and games and matchups that we think that we cannot live without, like Texas A&M, and we've been doing just fine for the last 10 years. So we will adapt, we'll get over it, we'll move on, and we will continue to watch. But it goes back to the product of what's a better game to watch. People want to watch Tennessee-Alabama. That was one of the highest watched games this past year. I would rather watch that game than Alabama-Furman.
I mean, I think
well, every fan would be like that, for sure.
I apologize to all the Furman grads out there. Caroline said
Ingle Martin.
I don't apologize.
Ingle Martin.
Play better football.
Our man Ingle Martin over at CPA.
Furman guy?
He dominated Furman. He dominated at Furman. He was a great player.
I think you can still.
Go Pels,
because it's not like the SEC has the rivalries within the SEC has been there for many, many, many years, decades. And it's not like they subtracted teams, added teams. The teams that are in the SEC have been there for a good while. So those rivalries are established. Whether they're, you know, whether you like the rivalry or not, think it's a rivalry or not, you know, I don't think Tennessee Vandy's a rival. I think it's an in-state rival, but I don't think overall when you start talking rivals, it's a rival.
Text
but
line's not happy with you because
I know
that.
The text line's not. And listen, I'm not the first person that made, you know, that I made unhappy. But now you add in Texas A&M and Oklahoma. Well, you can still preserve those rivalries because Texas and Texas A&M always had their rivalries. They were part of the Big 12. So you bring them over to the SEC, you can preserve that rivalry. Now, Oklahoma, what is their rivalry? Is it Oklahoma State? Is it Oklahoma, Texas? If you believe it's Oklahoma, Texas, you can still preserve that rivalry because both of them are in the same conference. So these rivalries can be maintained. More than one rivalry can be maintained within the SEC. Why? Because these same teams are still in the conference. It's not like they took Alabama out of the conference and now we're trying to find a replacement for Georgia to play as a rivalry. Alabama is still there. Georgia's still there. LSU, Auburn. Those rivalries, however they are situated, can still be preserved. Whether it's one or two, I think it should be two. I think two gives you the ability to maintain, you know, all of the rivalries. I don't think there's more than like, I don't think one team has more than two rivalries. I think two is probably the max. Like Alabama, Auburn. Alabama, Tennessee.
Alabama, LSU.
Yeah, so.
No, yeah, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No.
But what I'm saying is this. You got me on that one. But what I'm saying is this. Not many teams have more than two rivalries. So you could still maintain those two rivalries and still play, you know, the eight conference games. Because the eight conference games, including the rivalry, are all within the conference. It's not like I'm trying to go out of conference and preserve a rivalry that's over there.
All right, let me ask you guys this. With 16 teams, what is more important?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay,
yeah.
But what is more important with a 16-team league, knowing that you can't have everything, is it having the rivalries, which creates an unbalanced schedule? Like, I'll give you an example from another sport. The interleague play for baseball, which I never was a big fan of. I get it. But what would happen was they would try to keep the, quote, rivals. And so the Mets would have to play the Yankees a bunch of times every year. It was not equal. So other teams would have much easier rivals. And the same is true if you did that in the SEC. Like LSU's got some really tough rivals. Alabama, you know what I mean? Like Tennessee's got to play Alabama every year. They're in the other division. I know divisions are going away. So what you have to prioritize, I think. And to me, schedule equity, which is what I've seen proposed. You kind of go by winning percentage. They may do this for 2024. That's the speculation. To me, that is more important than the rivalries. That's just where I sit. I could be in the minority on that. But if I'm sitting there and I'm a coach and I've got to play my rivals who are stacked every year, as opposed to some other teams whose rivals happen to be, you know, less competitive most of the time, that's not fair.
I don't think there's any such thing as schedule equity in this league. I really don't. And that's for a couple of reasons.
There is, one, if you do it by a computer and you do it, you have a system like the NFL uses.
But also, I think that there is so much change in the SEC that, I mean, look at the way that we talk about the University of Tennessee's football program this year is night and day different than the way that we talked about University of Tennessee's football program 3 years ago.
Hell, even 2 years ago.
Even 2 years ago. I mean, LSU, my team, went from being a 500 team to being in the SEC championship in the matter of a year. There are teams that are always going to be good. Alabama has been good for a very long time. Alabama hadn't always been what Alabama is to what we know it today. So you can do as much, you know, go back 10 years, you can do all sorts of calculation, but this is such an unpredictable game, which was what I think makes it so fun and so exciting, that I don't think there is any such thing as schedule equity. You can do it as best as you possibly can. Like in the proposed 3-6 model, I saw that Auburn's three permanent proposed rivals were Georgia and Alabama to maintain rivalries, and then to balance it out a little bit, they threw Vandy in there. So it's throwing you a little bit of a bone. But there might be other teams, or Auburn might look at that and say, we have to play the two best teams in the conference every single year. Well, what about this other team? What about this other team? So I think that you can have your cake and eat it too, in a sense that you can have variety within schedules with six rotating games and a nine-game schedule. You can maintain rivalries, and you can try and remain as equitable as possible. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Announcement last night that I thought was pretty untimely and honestly kind of unnecessary, but we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Adam, there's another investigation involving Ja Morant, and can you update us on where you are on the timeline, when you expect it to end? And since there seems to be not a lot of precedent for this situation, how do you assess what kind of punishment to deliver, if indeed there is a punishment here?
So in assessing what discipline is appropriate, if that's the case, we look at both the history of prior acts, but then we look at the individual player's history as well. And so that and the seriousness, of course, of the conduct. So those are all things that get factored. It's not an exact science. It comes down to judgment at the end of the day on the part of me and my colleagues in the league office. In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was still asked about the situation. I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the off season, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
Wow.
That was Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, last night. Mentioned they found more in their investigation of Ja Morant, and that they will announce the findings and Ja Morant's imminent future at the conclusion of the NBA Finals.
The word that I heard was indefinitely. They suspended him indefinitely, and listening to him talk, you can tell that they're protecting the shield at all costs. And I say that because he said there were things that were uncovered during the early part of the playoffs and probably, you know, a little bit before the playoffs. But because we didn't want that to become a headline story, we chose to sort of hold on to it and sort of do some more work. Well, that tells me you were protecting a shield and you didn't want that story to overshadow, even though it did at points of time. But obviously what the other stuff you found out was going to dwarf. It seems like from what he's saying, it may still be a talking issue right now as we speak, even, you know, as we want to concentrate on the Denver and Miami series. If that information would have come out, if we had chose to put it out, then that maybe that would overshadow everything. But this doesn't sound good for Ja Morant. And I hope he's not alluding to, like, other people being a part of this as well, other players, because you can kind of take that both ways. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be fair to the other teams and stuff like that, so you can kind of take it both ways. But, you know, this is really about, you know, Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant, and that whole situation. But from what it sounds like, it doesn't look good. It does. I'm hoping that I'm reading it wrong. I really am. I'm hoping that I'm reading this wrong, but it doesn't sound good.
Sounds ominous. That was the word that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. Ominous. Like,
now,
the question is, if we're waiting until the end of the NBA Finals, which, by the way, they have about a week between each game. We got to wait till when's the next game? Sunday?
Next game is in July.
Basically.
They're going to shoot off the fireworks.
Yeah, right.
Game.
Happy Independence Day, everyone.
And the way the game went last night, I mean, Denver looks really, really good.
They look unbeatable.
We'll see what happens here, but between now and then, isn't somebody in Memphis going to dig and find, like, there are reporters on this league. Don't we think we might find out before the commissioner can, quote, announce the findings?
And that's my problem.
Can they keep them sealed?
That's my problem with it, is it doesn't sound good for Ja Morant. But unfortunately, I think that what Ja Morant did may elicit a pretty harsh punishment. And so it's less about the punishment and less about Ja Morant. And more so to me, Adam Silver making that announcement. I honestly think that was pretty inappropriate. The whole point of Adam Silver making that announcement was to not distract from the NBA Finals.
Now you just did.
It's that, look at all this stuff that we found, but we're not going to tell you because we don't want to distract you. That's like, it's like me telling you, Derek, I know you have a really big day today, so I'm not going to tell you, but I have some really huge news.
Exactly. And so I'm thinking all day, like, what is this news? What is this news?
I think it was inappropriate because Adam Silver wanting to keep the conversation away from Ja Morant now makes the conversation about Ja Morant.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's unfortunate because obviously, you know, the unfortunate part is that Ja put himself in this situation again. That's the unfortunate part about it. It's not that, you know, Adam Silver says all this stuff and now we sit back and others sit back and wonder, well, what is the information that he has? You know, now it overshadows, it starts to creep into, it doesn't completely overshadows, but it creeps into the Denver and Miami Heat series, their final series. Because now people are wondering, well, what else is out there? You know, was it deeper than just, you know, the gun play and show? Is he affiliated with different people and stuff like that? So now everybody's wondering and speculating on what could it be. So and that's what I wonder here. Like, why would he bring that up? But obviously you heard because it was brought to him, like, hey, what's the latest, what's going on? And he could have just said as a commissioner, hey, listen, we're still investigating it and we will let you know once we've gotten more. And he's been suspended indefinitely by Memphis, so he won't be at no team events or anything else. So as we start to get information, as we compile it and put it together, we will let you, everyone, know. But he didn't say that. He made it seem like we got information, a lot of it, and we're almost at the conclusion. Well, hell, you got to be at the conclusion because he said we will come out right after this when the NBA playoffs is done. So to me, that, what does that tell y'all? That they found everything that they can possibly find, right? If they say, well, we're going to wait until the NBA Finals to sort of, you know, open up this Pandora's box.
All he had to do was say, we're still investigating.
Yeah.
We'll have more news when we complete the investigation, and it should be around the time that the season ends. That's all he had to say. But when he says, we have more information, but I can't tell you, then that opens up the Pandora's box.
If he even had to say anything at all.
Yeah, he could have.
I don't know.
He could have closed that iron curtain.
Cody must have asked him about it.
No, the guy did. They did allude to, the question did allude to force. I'm not going to say forced, but it did sort of edge him or nudge him to answer the question in the way he did, sort of, kind of. But he didn't have to let anybody behind the iron curtain.
No. You could say, you know, we're going to keep that in house for now.
Yeah.
Next question. Thank you.
We're still working on it. We'll still, let you know.
Yeah, yeah. We're keeping all of our investigations in-house, and we will be sure to keep you updated with any further investigations that we might find. I just think it was mishandled by Adam Silver, and I will say this. I think that he is one of the best commissioners in sports, if not the best commissioner in sports, but that was mismanaged, and that was mishandled, especially with a superstar in the league, with a story that has, you know, seemed like to overshadow a good bit of postseason basketball. And in trying to revise that and trying to make sure that that doesn't continue, he made it worse.
Okay. I believe he made it worse, or he sort of, you know, made people sort of, you know, like when a dog hears something, they're like, huh? I really want to go, what's out there? Is it a cat? Is it a squirrel? What? Okay. But you want to go find out what it is. Even though we may think that, I got to believe that Adam Silver is a lot smarter than that and very calculated.
Which is why I'm so confused about
why
he said
that. Did
this
because, and this is my only thought, I think he did this to send a message to Ja. Like, I told you once to stop this. We had a long conversation about this. You may have told me some things that were going on that I wasn't going to tell anybody else because I said, be honest with me. You're sitting in my office. Be honest with me. You probably were honest with a lot of things, brought a lot of things out. And I said, listen, we can't have this no more. You are a hell of a player, hell of a human being. You are one of the faces of the NBA. Your future looks bright. It is bright. We can't have this no more. All right? Okay. And you do it again. So basically, you just spat in my face. That's what you did. So now I'm coming back at you. And listen, we got more stuff, Ja. This is right at you. This is not for anybody else. Ja, we found out some more stuff. When I asked you those questions, you should have been 100% honest with me. And you were not. And you continued to do it again. This is for you. I could have held on to this. But this is for you, Ja. We got more. And it's going to come out. That's my perception of it. Because, again, he didn't have – he's been through a lot since he's been commissioner. He had to be proactive in a lot of things when he became commissioner. We understand what all those things were. I'm not going to believe that this was just one slip-up like, wow, I said that? No, I think it was calculated by him. He did it for a reason, and that reason, just like we say Nick Saban, when he's talking to everybody who he's really talking to, his team.
His players.
I'm going to believe on this one. Adam Silver, by saying this, he's talking to one person or one group, and that's Ja and his circle. Father, mother, him, his friends, that's who he's talking to. He's not talking to anybody else.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The latest on DeAndre Hopkins. We'll break it down coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.